1-800-580-2372 to join into the discussion. We're talking with Jeff Norbury, Executive Director of Newgate 180. Newgate 180 provides addiction counseling, medical, psychological, and professional addiction services to men in the Ottawa area, but in fact provides these services to pretty much people around the country. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I do provide medical services for Newgate 180. However, the discussion is centering on information for you to use to get a better understanding of addiction, to know what your options are when dealing with friends and family members, or even yourself if there's a problem that you recognize. And one of the issues that I found surprising in some ways is the extent to which people lose the, lose themselves, do things that they normally would not even consider doing, and do them because of the addiction that they have. This is not certainly excusing them for the behavior, but rather illustrating the extent to which they will behave. And one of the areas that struck me is a gentleman that I saw who had a cocaine addiction and had tapped himself out. His bank account was down at zero, and he began to use money that he would withdraw from his 16-year-old daughter's bank account. And at that point he said, "Well, what am I doing? This is really hitting rock bottom. If to steal from my children to support my drug habit, this is not a behavior." My understanding, this is not a behavior that is rare when dealing with people with addictions.
Not at all. There's many examples of that. Some extreme in terms of people losing their homes. Part of the let's say the manifestation of an addiction in a psychological sense is the fact that you do tend to internalize and keep secrets and stop communicating. And you'll do anything to sustain that addiction and supply of substances. In one particular case, we had a gentleman in our program that when we did the assessment, we always bring in the family members when we can. And the lady in this relationship was astounded to find out during that assessment just the level of where things had digressed to in terms of they'd lost one of their homes and in the process of losing the other, and various things like that. We've heard of people keeping it out of the loop in work, driving under the influence, and getting involved in accidents and things of that nature. It's across the board. It's a very tragic and very, very serious consequence.
And there are also, for example, addictions like gambling addictions, which lead to similar effects where you have financial ruin in these families and have just a deleterious effect on the family.
Correct. In fact, Barry, when we look at during an assessment, what is done in the industry is people are placed on what we call the addiction continuum. And it's a progression, in a sense, from safe zones into some chronic health problems at the end of the continuum. Now, the so-called slippery slope to get into chronic health problems and major consequences, and with alcohol, for example, is pretty relatively slow. But with gambling, you can lose everything overnight, and the shock of that, in terms of getting into major financial ruin and owing the wrong people big money, can lead to possible suicide and things of that nature.
Now, the image of someone who is an addict, there are certain stereotypes that people may have with regards to using the colloquial term a drug addict. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the case. I mean, there are people, as you mentioned, from all walks of life who suffer from this, who may not outwardly show what's going on, and yet are participating in activities that really would set up an image. If you were to tell that this person was doing this particular activity, there'd be an image in the public's mind or in a general sense that of a particular kind of person that does this. But what in your experience have you seen? Where are the bulk of addictions and who is suffering from that? And how does that affect, if you have any stories or people that you've met, how have they shown, presented to you, and what have they done to try and correct their problem?
Mm-hmm. Let's first of all take this problem away from the streets. On the news and papers, we all look at the homeless people and the shelters and things of that nature. But addiction is, believe me, through all walks of life, all demographics, financial groups, age groups, professions. In particular, we deal with a lot of functional addicts or alcoholics, drug addicts. Unfortunately, labels are thrown around too easily in this industry. And as I said, people being very functional but addicted, they either need to take some uppers in the morning, downers in the evening. The pressures of a particular job or deadline, they're leaning to cocaine or going out for a few too many drinks with the boys after work, that type of thing. What I found is the tragedy of all of this is that without the prior education or understanding of where these things can quickly lead to, we've seen so much potential in our society of people and their families just being robbed of of any richness and quality of life that they could have had. We deal with the NHLPA and several large Canadian corporations, and it really is tragic that people can lead to the chronic side and eventually premature death by not reaching out to counseling earlier on when the problems first start manifesting in the home and workplace. If we can get to people at that level, and I'm talking about farmers, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, chief executives, NHL hockey players, everybody is touched, male and female. But the earlier we can find these people and recognize these problems and treat, the better.
So say, for example, a family member does recognize that there's a problem with either their wife or their husband or their child. What are the steps to take? How can you break down the barrier sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times addicts don't admit there's a problem until
exactly.
You actually hit bottom. So in terms of intervening, there can be a lot of conflict. By nature, people don't really like conflict very much. They try to smooth things over. Sometimes they ignore things, hoping that it goes away, or they hope that, you know, the person's going to suddenly realize that there's a problem and self-correct. So what are some of the steps that should be taken at the beginning? Because as we know, the earlier you do something, in most mm-hmm. cases, the better chance you have of correcting the problem.
Mm-hmm. Often called the elephant in the living room, and family just going through their so-called normal activities, just totally oblivious to the fact that there's an elephant in the living mm-hmm. room. But the bottom line is that education and awareness is critical to establishing a particular route or journey through recovery. And recovery is so complex, and I do want to emphasize that you do need to reach out to professionals. There are excellent facilities available throughout Ontario and the rest of Canada. I can speak of some registries and contact that we'll be getting into later, but I'm talking about interventionists and moving away from the television show Interventionist.
Mm-hmm.
We look at it in terms of a wheel of change where a family has to get together and understand, yes, we do have a problem. And in order to start, you have to stop. And when we look at the wheel of change, there's various stages of a person or an addict, let's say, that is reaching out for help. There is a pre-contemplative state where I'm having a good time, I'm functional, I'm putting bread and butter on the table, a roof over our head, and clothes on the back, and but I'm using these drugs and there's no problem. But you have to move that particular individual into contemplative stages
mm-hmm.
where they are now more or less aware that, yes, there is a problem and there are consequences and it's affecting other family members, and quickly or relatively quickly moving them through from that stage into more awareness and identification and then into action in terms of getting treatment.
Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about teens and a lot of parents not sure what to say to teens, especially what I tend to call the hypocrisy factor that's
right.
in their minds, where A lot of parents may have indulged a bit in marijuana use or even cocaine use or alcohol. They're now not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the child or the teen will say, well, you did that when you were young, so why can't I try and do that as well? Mm-hmm. And what parents can say to that, how they can impart their experience of the effect of doing that, and just being able to make their teen aware that what they may be doing is not necessarily in their best interest. So when we come back with Jeff Norbury, we'll mm-hmm. be discussing that issue as well as other issues. 1-800-580-2372. Our lines are free. And I do know that there are people out there listening who do know somebody who has this problem. And I encourage you to call up. We have a half an hour left to this segment of with Jeff Norbury. Hope to hear from you. 1-800-580-2372. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call.